Church, would you join us this morning? You see the words, you know the song. Here we go now.
I love you, Lord.
Sing unto the Lord.
And I lift my voice to worship.
Praise the Lord this morning. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord Jesus is worthy of all of our praise. We serve a living God, a faithful God, and we serve a good, good Father, don't we? What a blessing it is to be here this morning, Calvary Baptist Church, right here in good old Powder Springs. And you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we have come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so I hope and I pray that's why you've come. I'm sure it is. And I hope you get something. I hope you get something this morning. That's our prayer. And just like the man that was the paralyzed man that sat outside the gate called Beautiful, Peter and John walked by. He had out his cup and he was asking for alms. He was asking for money. And we know Peter says, silver or gold have I none, but such as I have. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And I want to tell you this morning, he got what he didn't come for, and that was a touch from God. And so that's my prayer this morning, is that you'll get a touch from Almighty God. He wants to touch you this morning. And again, so good to be here this morning. And let me just say this up front. We're going to have our Valentine's luncheon for widows and widowers following the service this morning. We are so excited about this to honor you. And so if you would, please stay with us, those who have sent their loved one, their spouse, on to heaven and eat lunch with us. This is for you. This is, you know, out of a heart of love from Calvary Baptist Church for you. We're just so excited about it. Kind of doing things in reverse this morning. Let me go ahead and mention this, that Jubilee is right around the corner. Who's excited about Jubilee? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jubilee, revival, whatever you want to call it. We are so very excited. Starting on Sunday, March the 2nd, 10:30 a.m., Brother Snyder Turner will be preaching, Pastor Emeritus here at Calvary. And 5 o'clock in that evening, Brother Sammy Burgess will be preaching. Of course, the whole day, we're going to have second coming group singing and CBC Jubilee Choir singing as well. And on Monday, March the 3rd, Carl Partain and will be preaching. His family will be singing. On Tuesday, Brother David Smith will be preaching. And we're going to have Brother Corey Pearson back with us from the Diplomats. It's been a while. And I love Brother Corey, love his family. We hope his mother, Rita, will be able to come. That would just be a double blessing right there. So you pray for that as well. And on the midweek Jubilee service on Wednesday, Brother Craig Edwards is going to be with us. But we're going to have Pine Valley Baptist Youth Choir. It's going to be a Jubilee youth-related night. And we love our young people around here. Amen. And so we want to use them that Wednesday night along with whatever else Brother Allen has. But we're going to have that youth choir here with us. And then Thursday, to close the meeting, Brother Mark Stroud will be preaching. And then Deborah Perry and Jaden's Call will be singing for us along with our choir. Of course, Junior Jubilee all week long with Brother Brian. He will be teaching that. And so what a blessing that will be down there. And we are so very thankful for him doing that each and every year. Nursery will be provided each night. All right, I do have some prayer requests, some updates to mention before we pray this morning. I received a call last night from Brother Snyder, and he had mentioned, I knew a few days ago through, of course, through Brent, his son, but last night specifically, he called and he said, his mother, of course, Miss Lucille, is in hospice care, and it's just the family's request that you would honor their privacy at this time, you know, try to hold off on the phone calls and the texts, although I know you want to. They're just really, really taking it moment by moment with her, and so if you would just honor that request for their privacy, that would be great. And, of course, let's continue to remember Chuck Prestridge's brother, Alan, and the stroke that he had. I believe he's doing better from that. But let's see, Miss Cece, did you say his son-in-law cancer? Now his son-in-law has colon cancer, and so that family is just being hit hard. So please remember, again, this is Chuck Prestridge, his Uncle Alan, and their family. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, continue to remember them on their health journey that they're on with Brother Leonard and his cancer, Miss Dolores with her heart conditions. And also, Miss Dawn, is she doing okay? She hurt her back when she fell. Of course, the UTI, hopefully, prayerfully, she's better from that. But Brother Jim, he's going to have surgery on the 20th of March. Is that right? Sounds good to you, doesn't it? Sooner the better. Yes. So, absolutely. So we'll be remembering your family for sure. And just remember all these requests, if you would. Remember our service tonight at 5:00. Looking forward to that. But with all that said, it's just good to be here this morning, Brother Harold. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. Mayo. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue to remember this request, Brother Harold's granddaughter. Yes. All right. Okay. Well, let's pray, and then we'll toss things back to Brother Alan. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. We're not just saying it to say it. We do. The good, the bad, the ugly. We don't like the ugly. We don't like the bad, but we do know that, God, you are in control of all things, And if our perception is right, dear Lord, then our steps will be right. So I pray that you would today be with all these requests. You know who needs what. And Father, I pray through music you would minister, through your word you would minister. If there's one here or if there's one watching on Facebook that isn't saved, that doesn't know that heaven to be their home when they die, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. And for all others who know you as personal Lord and Savior, I pray that they would be strengthened today, that receive encouragement today. Some may even need to be challenged today. But whatever the case is, Holy Spirit, you know how to do what we can't. That is, take your word and apply it to everybody. We love you today. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Church, choir, if you will, stand with me. Turn over to page number 120. Let's all stand together and sing Victory in Jesus. Sing together now.
I heard it all, those glory, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his calling, of his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Victory.
seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us, you're a special guest. We see a family member, a church family member that we hadn't seen in some time. Nathan, stand up back here, young man. There he is. Yeah, Nathan. It's great to see you this morning with us, pal. We have missed you, and it's great to see you. And it looks like the Lord's been good to you. Amen. And so just please, let's be in prayer for the service today. A lot of prayer requests. Choir, if you'll meet me, I'm going to try my best to meet you here this afternoon at 4. 4 o'clock this afternoon. If anything like that changes, I'll let you know. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And let's just pray the Lord would do something with love and power and strength today. We just stand in need of a touch from heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And we're excited about what the Lord has already done and what he's going to do. You'll notice that we're singing a couple of songs this coming week, of course, being Valentine's, a time of love, isn't it? And we just want to tell the Lord how much we love him because he has loved us so much. Amen. We could never thank him enough for the love that he has extended to us. Gave us his son to die on Calvary, and we can sing about victory in Jesus. And the Lord is good. And we'll sing another song here in a few moments with that thought in mind. But you pray for the choir this morning as we sing. But let's go again to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask him to be in the service today and touch the offering. And maybe someone would come to know the Lord today as their personal Savior. I couldn't think of a better time and a better day for them to come to know the Lord. Brother Larry, would you lead us this morning as we pray?
this morning from a little special girl, little Miss Charlie, is going to be bringing us a song this morning. So you pray for her as she sings this song. What a blessing. Loud and proud. I love it. Have decided to follow Jesus. Man, I love it. I love it. Great job, Charlie. What a wonderful, wonderful way to kick off preaching time. Thank you for that. So, go ahead. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. What a blessing. What a blessing. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and make your way to Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 11. We're not going to read right away from this verse. We will get there in just a moment, but you can go ahead and make your way there. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll introduce the subject matter this morning. Father, we love you today. We thank you for all things. God, I pray in the next few moments you would just hide me behind the cross. God, I want to be a vessel that you could use. Lord, we've been preparing and studying and praying and yielding, trusting, obeying all week long, Lord, for this very moment. I pray, God, that you would just minister to the hearts of your people that are here and everyone that's here. Those watching on Facebook, listening online, I pray, God, that you would do what you do best, and that is change a heart. And Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. This morning I want to cover a subject that I feel we all need to be reminded of from time to time. And that is the subject of worship. Worship. I believe, Brother Allen, there's been some worship this morning. Amen. And I'm talking about real Bible worship. What does worship really mean? We all probably have some kind of mental picture of what it means to worship, don't we? Maybe singing in the choir, maybe raising our hand in praise, maybe giving a hearty shout of amen. These are definitely forms of worship. These are expressions of love from us to our Heavenly Father. Nothing wrong with these things. In fact, we ought to do these things. But we all, including the world, have an idea concerning worship and what it looks like. This morning, I'd like to look into this subject and see exactly what worship is. Not according to my words, but according to God's words. And then I want to do my very best through the guidance of the Holy Spirit to apply it to all of our lives. So let's jump right in. I want to give you three things about worship. Number one, I want us to define what worship means. So there's the definition of worship. What does that word actually mean? The meaning of the word worship means this. It's attributing ultimate worth to something, whether it's an object, a person, or even an idea. Worship is, in essence, valuing one thing above all else. Worship literally means worth-ship. Worth-ship. So what are we doing when we sing in the choir? What are we actually doing when we raise our hand in praise? What are we doing when we give a hearty shout of amen? I tell you what we're doing. We are worshiping God. We are proclaiming He has the greatest possible worth over any object, any person, or idea. We are worshiping God. And when we do that, we are saying that His value is above all gold, silver, jewels, houses, land, or any fancies of life that we can imagine, dream of, or even have. Worshiping God. When we worship God this morning, we are testifying that His power exceeds any king, any president, or leader in history. Talking about this morning what worship means, and we're looking at the definition. And again, it's attributing ultimate worth to something, whether it's an object, person, or even idea. And so when we worship God, in essence, we are saying, nothing compares to You, O Lord. We worship You. We are raising our hands. We are extolling You. We are lifting You up, Lord. You are worth more to us than silver or gold or anything else that can possibly be. Now in Revelation chapter number 4, notice if you would in verse number 11, the Bible says that Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. He's worthy this morning for our praise. But let me delve a little bit into this verse, the context of this chapter. You say, who are these saying this? Well, if you back up to verse number 10, the Bible says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. If you go back and look at verse number 1, John says, after this, after mentioning all the churches during the church age, he says, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. What does that mean? That's the rapture of the church, my friend. That's when we are called out of this place and we are in heaven and we are in the 20, and the 24 elders in verse number 10. That is us, my friend. That's the picture of the church. That's the picture of the redeemed. And we are around His throne saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. This morning, listen, I don't want to wait till I get to heaven and to praise the Lord. I want to praise Him now, amen. Don't you want to praise Him? God's been good to you. God's been good to this old boy. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to praise Him. I want to practice now. And that's what worship is. It's attributing ultimate worth to something, whether it's an object, person, or even an idea. Jesus is the one we are attributing our worship and our praise. So what a blessing this morning to know. If you turn to chapter number 5 and verse number 12, we read, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. These are images of heavenly worship. These are images of those in heaven surrounding the throne and saying, You are more precious to me, Lord, than anything there ever was or will be or is to come. And so what a blessing that is this morning to know what worship really means. Again, worship is valuing one thing above all else. It literally means worth-ship. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you valuing in your life above all else? What is your main focal point in life? Is it Jesus? What is it in your life that's so valuable that you say, I've got my eye on this more than anything? Somebody might say, well, I value my spouse. They are worth to me more than anything. Why spouses, God bless them, and we love them, and they're God sent. If you get the right one, they're God sent, amen? And they'll be good for you. And as much as I love my wife, there's somebody that I love more this morning. You may say, well, I just love my children, and I'll do anything for my children. And listen, children are great. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And I'll stand here and say, I love my daughter Lily. There's nothing that I would do for her. But I want to say that there's somebody I love more this morning. Oh, Brother Justin, how can you say you don't love your wife as much as someone else or your daughter as much as someone else? I tell you why, because Jesus is my first love. And whenever He came in my heart, He's the one that led me to Ford Road Baptist Church, and He's the one that allowed me to cross paths with Christy. And years down the road, we had Lily, and He's been blessing ever since. This morning, I'm in love with God. I'm in love with Jesus. Would you help me give Him praise this morning that God is good all the time and nothing else? Amen this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God alone is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our devotion and attention. Don't turn there, but in Psalm 48, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Worship is praise to Jesus. It's lifting Him up above all else. Praise Jesus this morning. So, as we look at the subject of worship, we see the definition of worship. Number two, I want us to look at the diligence of worship. What do you mean, diligence of worship? Well, what I mean by that is, worship isn't just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Come in a little close. We've got to get a little more personal. Amen. Hey, God spoke to me and touched me. I'm going to ask Him to touch y'all. The diligence of worship. Worship isn't just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Worship isn't just making an object judgment that one thing excels all others. All right? Real worship is actively desiring and seeking after that one thing above all others, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going after God, Brother Ceylon, Monday through Sunday, Brother Harold. Now, don't mistake in what I'm saying. We all have 100% worship to something. And I hope and pray our 100% devotion and worship is to God this morning. But don't get it twisted. Don't get it wrong. Everybody in here is 100% devoted to something. It may be something out there in the world. It may be sports. It may be movies. It may, listen, it may be sexual activity. It may be alcohol. It may be drugs. It may be drama. It may be things like that and much more. But everybody is devoted 100% to something. And so, not only we worship God in here, but we worship God out there. And the diligence of worship, going after God Monday through Sunday. Listen, to worship something is to make the pursuit and enjoyment of it the overall riding goal in our life. Listen, that's why a lot of people on Sunday, listen to me, sitting in church across our land, I'm not picking on you, across our land, they look like they could take it or leave it. I'd rather be fishing mentality. Preach on, preacher. Now listen, that's why. Because many people only have a worship of God on Sundays and Wednesdays, and some only on Sunday mornings. Because of that, millions of people in the church world across our land are sitting there like they could take it or leave it. I'd rather be fishing. I'd rather be shopping. I'd rather be doing all these things. That's the mentality that we're living in today. And it is reflective of our walk with God. Now let me say this. Many people, now y'all hold on a minute, okay? Many people won't come back to church tonight because they would rather watch the Super Bowl and all its perverted commercials more than coming and worshiping Almighty God. Amen. They're going to lay out of church and they're going to watch this box upon their mantle and watch them throw a pigskin and come halftime. There's going to be a naked lady across your screen dancing and singing. You know I'm telling it right. And you'll stay home and watch it like it's okay. You know, somebody better preach it. Amen. And all the commercials about drinking and going to the bar and all of these things. Listen, why don't those commercials show all the auto accidents on Super Bowl night? Why don't those commercials show the tree that's going to be wrapped, show the car that's going to be wrapped around the tree, and an innocent family died because a person was drinking on Super Bowl Sunday? You know what happens. The drunk driver lives, and the family coming home from church dies. Huh? When are we going to draw a line? When are we going to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to worship not just on Sundays, but Monday through Sunday? So we see that what worship is. We see the diligence of worship. It's going after God. To worship something is to make the pursuit and enjoyment of it the overall riding goal in our lives. So we have so many in churches today with I'd rather be doing something else mentality on their faces. And so come on now this morning. Come on. You know I'm telling you the truth. People all across this land, they will go to church this morning and listen, and they will go home and say, I didn't get nothing out of the singing. They will go to church this morning and they will say, I didn't get nothing out of that preacher. I didn't get nothing out of the singing, and I didn't get nothing out of the preaching. Well, let me ask you, madam, have you been in the book Monday through Saturday? And if you haven't been in the book Monday through Saturday, it will explain why you haven't got nothing on Sunday, because your cup hasn't been out wanting to get anything. Amen. Amen. Sick 'em, boy. Love it. Love it. So tonight, this morning, I'm being honest. We got to be honest. You must be a pursuer of God at all times. Nobody's perfect, I understand that. But I'm going to stop saying that so much. Because I say that, I go back and I say that kind of often. Nobody's perfect, nobody's perfect, nobody. You know what? We ought to try to be. I think we have used our salvation card as a green card to sin. A green light to sin. Oh, I'm washed in the blood. My sins are gone. And because of that, I want to go over here and do this. Because of that, I want to do that. I'm not perfect. I'm forgiven. You know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you what. People with true gospel salvation, they don't embrace a cheap grace. That's a cheap grace, by the way. That's, oh, raise your hand and pray a prayer after me. Come in my heart. No. You've got to see that your sin has separated you from God. There is an eternal hell to shun and a heaven to gain. You must come to Jesus and say, save me. I'm a sinner. Change my life. Somebody with true gospel salvation, they're not going to walk the way they used to walk. They're not going to talk the way they used to talk. Their sin's going to bother them so much that when they mess up, oh God, please forgive me. Please forgive me, Lord. That's true gospel salvation. We're not saying forgive me to save me all over again. But God, I want a close relationship with you. I can remember when I first got saved. Man. I guess 1 or 2 years into it, I had sinned so much. You say, well, what was you out there robbing banks, cheating on your wife? No. I would just say a bad word and feel like I was going to die. I'd have a thought come through my mind, and I feel like I was just a dirty, rotten scoundrel. I was trying to figure out how to live this life as a Christian. I told God on one occasion over at Floyd Road in our parsonage, we lived at, on the couch, knees on the hardwoods. I said, God, why don't you just kill me? Why don't you just kill me? I'm a sorry excuse of a child of God. Just kill me. But you know what? I come to the conclusion, Brother Ceylon, Brother Harold, that God knew I was going to sin before I sinned. He saved me anyway. Instead of mulling around in the mully grubs and saying, oh, you can't live this life. No, what I need to do is get up and rejoice that I've been saved and go toward the Lord each and every day. And then when you go back and you look over a period of time, you will see that you have grown. true Bible salvation isn't a cheap grace. Jesus was slaughtered on that cross. His blood was shed. How dare somebody say that they know Jesus and live in sin? That is a mockery to Almighty God. Those that are truly saved aren't perfect, but they try to be. Amen. Amen. The diligence of worship. The diligence. Now, real worship is being diligent in your spiritual life, going for a deeper intimacy with Christ. Now, turn, if you would, to Mark chapter number 12, verse 30. Mark 12, verse number 30. Real worship is being diligent in your spiritual life, going for a deeper intimacy with Christ. I want to say that worship is radical. Oh, Brother Justin, you're one of those Jesus freaks, is what they say out there to us Christians. You're one of those radicals. Yeah, I am. Because the way I was living, God touched me. And listen, I went down at His feet and asked Him to save me. My life forever changed, and I am forever different. Yeah, I'm pretty radical about someone that can take a alcoholic and take the taste away. I'm kind of radical about how God can take the desire out of someone's heart to go clubbing at night and fighting and all of those things and make them a preacher. I'm excited. I'm radical about those things. Amen? And so we see here, and we see a radical Christianity here in Matthew 12, 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with a quarter of thine heart. Oh, come on now. Y'all are radical. And thou shalt love the Lord God with half thine heart. Oh, come on now. Y'all are radical Christians. What are you talking? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with three quarters? No. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So let me ask you, child of God, what's your Christian walk been like since you got saved? This is the first commandment, to be all in. We've got some that's been saved for, I don't know, I've been saved for a little over 20 years. We've got some that's been saved double and triple that in this church. And across the land, we have people that's been saved for a minute. We have people that's been saved for weeks and years. But my question is this. My question is, what kind of Christianity do you have? Do you have a quarter kind of Christianity? Do you have a half percentage kind of love and devotion to God? Or are you all in? Listen, this is a radical Christianity. I am to love. I am to be devoted. Real worship is radical Christianity. Real worship is yielding to Him on Monday. I love what a preacher said one time. It doesn't matter how high you jump on Sunday. It matters how straight you walk on Monday. Amen. We're not here to put on a show. We're not here to try out for basketball. Amen. We're not here to, whoo, whoo, whoo. We're not charismatic. We're not, you know, we're not none of that. But listen, if it happens, great. It should happen if it's a true overflow from your intimacy with Christ. And people can tell it. This morning we see real worship is radical. Love Him on Sunday in front of everybody. Love Him on Monday morning when you go back to work and school. Listen to this. Real worship is valuing something so highly that you give everything up for it. Now, Warren Mark, turn back to the left to Matthew 13. I want to read about a couple worshipers in principle. Real worshipers are treasure hunters. Matthew 13, 44. They're treasure hunters. Look what it says. Again, The kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field. The which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all, there that word is again, all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Talking about a treasure hunter here, one who has found treasure in a field. He's so excited about what he found, nothing else matters. In fact, he is selling all that he has, and he buys the whole field that he may find more treasure. And I want to say this morning that that's what worship is. Real worship is being a treasure hunter. And when you ever truly get saved, or if you're saved and you've been following from afar, if you ever truly get locked in, it will be a precious treasure to you, intimacy with Jesus. And you'll say, you know what? This thing over here that I've been entertaining, it don't matter anymore. And then you'll go over here and say, you know what? All this money I've been spending on fun times, all of this don't matter anymore. All of these so-called good times, good time friends and good time buddies, it don't matter anymore. Why? Why don't these things matter anymore? Because the person has found treasure in Jesus. That's why. And he gives up everything to know more about this treasure. But not only treasure hunters, real worshipers are treasure hunters, but real worshipers are pearl divers. Notice verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Here's a man who dives deep into the abyss. He is looking for something pricey. Now, let me just say this. There may be somebody here this morning who is at the bottom in your life. And you may be like Jonah, who says, when I went to the bottom in the belly of that great fish, that whale, and he talks about the seaweeds wrapping around me and got a hold on me. That may be you this morning. You might be in the abyss of sin. You might be in the abyss of entanglement and bondage. Listen, it may not be sin. You just might be at the bottom in your life because of situations and adversity and problems. All of us at times feel like we're sinking, don't we? Even David says, he says, I was at the bottom. I was trying to get out, but that miry clay was so slippery. And I tried and tried. I kept sinking to the bottom. He said, but Jesus, the Lord, heard my cry. And he delivered me out of a horrible pit, out of the mighty clay. And he has set my feet on a solid rock and established my goings. And gave me a new song, even praise it to our God. And many shall see it and trust in the Lord. So this pearl diver, he is looking for something. And he's looking for something pricey. You may be here this morning at the bottom and you're looking for something to suffice the void. You've looked in the area of drugs. You've looked in the area of alcohol. You've looked in the area of, sexuality, even all those areas that go along with that. You've made some bad choices and you've done these things, and maybe even you necessarily didn't dive into sin, but you are searching for joy. You're searching for happiness. The Bible says that the man who finds the pearl, he rejoices when he finds that pearl because it's of great price. And he buys it. How about that? What you're looking for this morning at your bottom is the pearl of great price. You are looking for true treasures. Excuse me, in Jesus. You may be searching, you may be looking, but that's what you're looking for. You see, real worshipers are pearl divers. Pearl divers. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl, all it takes is one of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. If you ever experience true salvation, it will affect all parts of your life. And this morning, if you're in need of a touch, you've already been saved, keep diving, keep looking for that pearl. It will be found of you. Let me hurry along. Worship is treasuring the things of God so highly that we will give everything we have in exchange for them. Real worship, it's the attitude that says, whatever it takes for me to know and experience God, I will do. That's real worship. So we see the diligence of worship. We see the definition of worship. Let me say a bit more about the direction. The definition of worship, the diligence of worship, but then number three, the direction of worship. Let me mention this. The woman of Samaria that encountered Jesus, you remember that story? The subject of worship came up. Turn, if you would, to John 4. Jesus was passing through Samaria. In fact, in John chapter 4, verse number 4, it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. There was a woman there, verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And you know the story, I'm sure. This conversation at the well took place. Verse number 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Look at verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. She gives a certain location to worship. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. You don't know what you're worshiping. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Notice this, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Brother Justin, what does all that mean? Let me just summarize and condense this. It simply means, referring back to verse number 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Starting there, it simply means God doesn't care about where you worship particularly. Just follow me along in context of what I'm saying. He doesn't care about the kind of building you worship in. He doesn't even care what you worship in. We like to make a big to-do about apparel and worshiping, and yeah, I've got on a tie, but the Bible doesn't say thou shalt wear a tie. It's all about modesty. It's all about coming to worship the King. And I feel like we ought to wear our very best to worship the King. Why, if Donald Trump were to call and ask you for dinner, you wouldn't go in your pajamas, would you? No, you'll pick out the very best. And so these verses start off talking about he doesn't necessarily care where you worship, what kind of building you worship in, or what you're wearing. Listen to me. God isn't fooled with outward appearances. A person may look devout, sincere, and pious. They may look that way. You may be able to sing a song great or teach a class profoundly, sing in the choir, but if the heart isn't right, all it is external religion. Jude talks about it, many others talk about it, talks about that this outward appearance is a religious one, but they're far from God in their heart. Listen, God is not impressed or pleased with external worship. And if I didn't give it to you, my third and final point here is the direction of worship, talking about coming from the heart. God is not impressed or pleased with external worship. If we're not worshiping God, listen, from a tuned heart of worship. If we're not worshiping Him from a heart that is in tune and fixed and focused on Him, extolling Him more than anything in this world, our worship is empty. Our worship is worthless and doesn't mean anything. Now, you don't have to turn here. I will for the sake of time. But in Isaiah 29, in verse number 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." That's so true in the time and day that we're living. Everybody is all about getting their dose of Jesus on Sunday, putting on their best for Sunday. And then it's like when they leave the park, I'm talking about in the church world. I'm not talking about Calvary. I'm talking about, listen, in the church world. They leave the parking lot and it's back to what they want to do. That isn't the kind of worship or worshipers God is seeking. So this morning, we see all of that. So let us worship God in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth, which is to say, that is worship God along with His true nature. The true nature of God, in spirit and in truth. Spirit, He says in verse 24 of John 4, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. What exactly does that mean? It means we must, our worship must be spiritual and not fleshly. God knows the difference. God is a spirit. He's not contained in a house made with hands. He's not somewhere off where He can't be touched. God is a spirit. Can anybody tell me the essence of a spirit? Can anybody tell me, well, I see a spirit, well, according to Scripture here, He's saying God is a spirit. He can't be seen. But what kind of spirit is God? He's the Holy Spirit. He's a pure spirit. He's a loving spirit. And where God is at, love is abounding. Where God is at, purity is abounding. Where God is at, righteousness is abounding. It's a pure, holy, spiritual kind of worship. And this is the kind of worship that God is seeking. He's seeking spiritual worship. Those who have been walking by the Spirit, not in the energy of the flesh. And so we see that the word spirit here has to do with spiritual worship. Don't turn there, but in Revelation 1:10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now let me mention this as they make their way down front. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The truth part there just simply means it's a worship that is true to Scripture. It's true to Scripture, and it's true to the nature of Almighty God. I want to say this in conclusion, that there is a direction of worship. And that is, it comes from the heart. You remember that song, Come Thou Fount? I love that song. In that song of Come Thou Fount, it says, tune my heart to sing thy praise. The direction of worship comes from the heart. Real worship is birthed from a heart after God. Some come to church. Some may be here this morning where their heart's out of tune. Why don't you come and let God tune your heart? There may be some that come to church that are here this morning and your hearts are in tune. Let God strum your strings and make a sweet sound to somebody in need. The kind of worship that pleases God comes from the heart, a heart that's been tuned by the word, prayer, and the Holy Ghost. I love saying that, the Holy Ghost. I love it. And so, as we begin our invitational, if God doesn't have our hearts, nothing we do on Sunday matters. And that's just the truth. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you, God. The subject of worship is profound. So many sermons and messages and lessons have been taught. This is the direction I felt like, God, you wanted me to go. I pray that it ministered to somebody's heart. Lord, let there be a liberty during this time of invitation for whatever reason that they need to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come this morning, please come. On the very first verse.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Why don't you come? This is for everybody.
Thou art the power.
You may just want to come and say, thank you, Lord. Nobody's pointing fingers. None, that ain't this kind of church.
Mold me and make me after.
This is a place you can go to for help. Find help. Publicly. As the word's being preached down front, you can come. Please feel free. Don't carry that burden any longer. Are you saved this morning? Do you know that you know that if you die today, heaven will be your home?
Have thine own way.
I'll meet with you and talk with you. Maybe you're already saved. You're discouraged. Why don't you come and respond this morning?
Search
the perfect place to do it.
And try me, Master.
Knocking this morning, you come and respond. Just another minute or so while these are praying.
Touch me and heal me, Savior.
Let's play something there for a minute, brother. I'm going to change the service. If you feel like Calvary Baptist Church is where the Lord is leading you to be a member of, I want to give this as an opportunity for you to come forward and join Calvary if you feel like the Lord is leading as we say one more verse.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Too close. I'm a sweaty mess. You still feel?
Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me.
What a blessing. What a blessing. invitation. Still give it if you need to come.
Please,
you're still praying. I do want to say this morning that we have coming to us by transfer of letter from Second Baptist of Roswell, Lucy Godfrey. If all's in favor, give us a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. And a round of applause. And spoke with Miss Lucy the other day on the phone, and we've been meaning to talk for a while. We spoke a little bit about it, but isn't Miss Lucy a blessing? Her smile just lights up the room, and want to embarrass her real good this morning. But I'll tell you what we'll do. All that would, we'll just, when we dismiss, form a line, and if you just come give her the right hand of fellowship, saying that you appreciate her and you love her and can't wait to serve with her, that'll be great. And so remember, choir practice?
4 o'clock.
Choir practice at 4 o'clock, and we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. And again, you come down front, all that would, and just welcome her in to the fellowship. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, God. Thank you for Miss Lucy that's come today. And Father, I just pray that you'd use the message today to all of our hearts, Lord, that we would just walk with you and talk with you and be used of you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're at liberty. If you don't mind, just hang out here.